This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
California wine country burns. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka, Tuesday, October 10. Glad you could join us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A state of emergency for Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties, where at least 10 people have been killed and hundreds of homes and buildings have been destroyed by wildfires.
A student at Texas Tech University is accused of fatally shooting a campus police officer after cops found drugs in his dorm room.
New details have emerged about the moments before the Las Vegas massacre, plus a thank you gift for a Marine who drove up to 30 people to the hospital that night.
And the schools that are dropping the tradition of naming a valedictorian, saying it's too much pressure.
Basically, they say that heads off what they believe has become a healthy competition among students. So this means that some school districts don't have a valedictorian for that school year, or they have multiples. Take, for instance, Washington Lee High School in Arlington, Virginia, where there were 178 valedictorians last school year.
Wall Street Journal reporter Tonell Hobbs on dropping valedictorians and class rankings. She's here in about 20 minutes. California has now seen the greatest loss of civilian life from a single cluster of wildfires in a decade. Flames fed by strong winds are decimating Northern California wine country. At least 10 people are dead, bringing this year's total to 13. About 1,500 homes and businesses have been destroyed, and some 20,000 people have been forced to flee.
What the heck, man? How can this happen? You have no idea how fast this stuff happens. It's just out of control. It's out of control.
Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency for Napa, Sonoma, and Yuba counties, encompassing some of the state's prime winemaking areas. Cal Fire Director Ken Pimlott.
Most of these fires have limited or no containment. These are very rapidly burning fires.
Among the vineyards damaged or destroyed by flames are some popular names like Chateau St. Jean, Stag's Leap Winery, and Signorello Estate. In addition to potential damage to vineyards from fire itself, experts say sustained exposure to heavy smoke can taint unharvested grapes. San Francisco issued an air quality alert due to smoke from the fires. No motive has been determined, but we are getting more details about what happened in the moments just prior to the massacre in Las Vegas 9 days ago. Authorities say the gunman opened fire on a security guard 6 minutes before he rained down bullets on a crowd and killed 58 people, injuring hundreds more. Clark County Sheriff Joseph Lombardo says Stephen Paddock shot and wounded a security guard from behind his door, likely able to see the guard through surveillance cameras he had set up. The security guard, Jesus Campos, was shot in the leg as he investigated an open door near the gunman's suite in Mandalay Bay.
A comprehensive picture is being drawn as to the suspect's mental state, and currently we do not believe there is one particular event in the suspect's life for us to key on.
It was unclear why the gunman stopped firing at the crowd, suggesting he may have initially planned to escape. He also shot at jet fuel tanks at McCarran International Airport and had protective gear in the hotel suite and explosives in his parked car. Some terrifying moments for students at Texas Tech University. Police say a student shot a police officer to death yesterday at the campus in Lubbock, about 300 miles west of Dallas. The school was on lockdown before the suspect was arrested. Texas Tech police went to check on the welfare of the student earlier in the day, and after discovering drugs, authorities say the officers took the person to the campus police station, where university spokesman Chris Cook says the student pulled out a gun.
Sometime during that debriefing, the student pulled a gun and fatally wounded one of the officers. He fled on foot.
In a statement on Twitter, Lubbock police said the suspect, 19-year-old Hollis Daniels, was later taken into custody after being tackled by one of its officers. It did not provide further details. The Twitter timeline seemed to indicate about a 12-minute period during which the suspect was at large. The all clear was given on campus at around 10:30 local time. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Tuesday. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell Small Business Tech Advisor. U.S. military doctors often keep current by training inside hospital trauma centers around the country, since much of what military medical staff see in civilian trauma centers is gun-related, sometimes involving the same weapons used in battle zones. But the training opportunities don't always stem from gunshots. For example, high-speed car crashes can produce injuries that resemble those caused by improvised explosive devices. More from Gene Whalen, Wall Street Journal Deputy Bureau Chief for Health and Science. Gene, what did you find?
It turns out that they work in the hospital several shifts a month just to keep their skills up when they're back in the U.S., to keep their combat medical skills up and to assist with taking care of gunshot victims and all kinds of victims of trauma.
Interesting. And some of them are matched to certain hospitals, right?
Yeah, so there are these training programs all over the U.S., it turns out. The Air Force has programs in Las Vegas and Birmingham, Alabama, and Baltimore. And the Army has a long-running program to treat trauma victims in the San Antonio area in Texas. The Navy works out of a big hospital in Los Angeles where its surgeons and nurses and other doctors help out to treat trauma victims. So it's a very well-established system that the military values because a lot of the trauma seen in the U.S., unfortunately, resembles trauma seen on a battlefield.
All right. So the some of the Air Force members who were training in Las Vegas, they responded to the massacre on Sunday the 1st?
They did, yeah. So the main character in the story, Colonel Brandon Snook, he was the trauma surgeon on call that night, the backup surgeon. So, and that's a role he plays half a dozen times a month. He'll be the backup surgeon on call, and he often gets called in to help out when there's a big accident or something. And that night they called him, you know, very soon after the shooting happened and said, please come in. Another doctor, who unfortunately I didn't get into in the story, I didn't have room, but he also came in at 5 in the morning, answered a call to help out, and there were other Air Force medical staff in the hospital as well, some nurses and technicians helping out.
So what kind of training actually goes on?
They, they jump right in, and they triage patients when they come through the door, sorting out who needs to be treated immediately and who maybe can wait, you need to prioritize when there's a big casualty situation and a lot of people streaming through the doors. They take people to surgery. The Air Force surgeon I interviewed performed surgery very soon after arriving through the door on someone who had a gunshot wound to the abdomen from the Las Vegas shooting. They do it all. You know, they just perform medical care. These are physicians who are already, you know, trained and licensed and everything, so they're full-fledged doctors, and the hospitals appreciate having them because, you know, they can pitch in, and they're also free labor. The military pays their salaries. The hospitals don't have to pay them. So I think the hospitals really appreciate having them, too.
Tell me what you found out in Baltimore, too, because I know you mentioned at least one of the cases there.
Yeah, the Baltimore is one of the biggest programs. There's the famous Baltimore Shock Trauma Center there, which, unfortunately, with Baltimore's growing violence, has become a real center of trauma surgery excellence in the country. And there's a doctor there named Thomas Scalia who's been running this training program for Air Force surgeons for years. He has about 30 Air Force staffers who come through a month. They come through for month-long rotations. And these are surgeons and doctors and nurses and all kinds of medical technicians. And they train before they're deployed to places like Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. And he visited Bagram once and said that he kept meeting all of his former trainees who were coming up to say, thank you for, you know, helping me be good from the first day I landed here.
Wow. We're speaking with Gene Whalen, Deputy Bureau Chief of Health and Science at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Training Ground for Military Trauma Experts, U.S. Gun Violence. You point out, too, there is a push for a greater cooperation between military and civilian trauma care. Explain.
Yeah, the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine last year put out a big report recommending that military and civilian trauma care be integrated even more. And they said that that would help lessen the number of deaths both in civilian hospitals and in the military by sharing more knowledge of how to treat certain kinds of cases and sharing more data on outcomes of certain treatment approaches.
Thanks, Gene. Gene Whalen, Wall Street Journal Deputy Bureau Chief for Health and Science. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, an onslaught of wildfires across Northern California broke out almost simultaneously, then grew exponentially, swallowing up properties and tearing through both tiny rural towns and urban subdivisions. At least 10 are dead, at least 100 injured, and hundreds of homes and businesses have been destroyed. This man was forced to leave his home.
I just waited till the nightfall came down and just saw the flames still on the other side of the hill. I just couldn't go to sleep at night. There's now no one here that would wake me up, that no one would know I was here. And I just didn't want to take the chance.
The fires are already among the deadliest in California history. Law enforcement authorities say a hotel security guard was shot by the Las Vegas mass shooting gunman before he opened fire on concert goers. Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo says security guard Jesus Campos was in a hallway of the hotel when he heard drilling from Stephen Paddock's room.
What we have learned is Mr. Campos was encountered by the suspect prior to his shooting to the outside world.
It was not immediately clear why the timeline of the shooting changed a week later. Environmental groups and public health advocates are denouncing a decision by the head of the EPA to sign a rule overriding the Clean Power Plan. Speaking in the coal-producing state of Kentucky, EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt says he's ending what he calls a war on coal.
Folks in this part of the country and all over the country, they want certainty. They want to know that the EPA is no longer in the business of picking winners and losers, of trying to come in and use regulation to say that the war, to declare a war on a certain sector of our economy.
Pruitt can expect a new wave of litigation from the other side of the global warming debate. The Dodgers are headed back to the NL Championship Series after completing a sweep of the Diamondbacks last night, 3-1. They'll face the winner of the Cubs-Nationals Series, with Chicago now up 2-1. On the AL side, the Astros advanced to their first championship series after beating the Red Sox yesterday 5-4. The Yankees topped the Indians, setting up a game five in that series tomorrow night.
I watched a little bit of Cubs and Nationals. That things were so intense.
Aren't they all at this time of year? Close game,
but I mean, it seemed like the Cubs guys are just really like a lot of fist pumping and yelling. They were really emotionally jacked. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. First, everybody got a trophy. Now, schools are borrowing a page from that playbook. More of them are altering or doing away with the traditional role of valedictorian. Wall Street Journal education reporter Tonell Hobbs has found that at least half our states have schools that have stopped naming valedictorians or now name multiple. Tonell, what's up with this?
Basically, they say that heads off what they believe has become unhealthy competition among students. So this means that some school districts don't have a valedictorian for that school year, or they have multiples. Take, for instance, Washington Lee High School in Arlington, Virginia, where there were 178 valedictorians last school year. And in that school, everyone with a 4.0 got the honor of valedictorian, and they were all officially ranked number one. So that's pretty much what's going on, and there's been a big movement this way in the last couple of years. It's been much more noticeable.
Wow. So that Washington and Lee High School, to say that was in Virginia?
Yes, Arlington, Virginia.
So if they were all to apply to, say, UVA and claim that they were number one in their class, UVA might kick back and say, what's going on here, high schools?
I know, that was my thought, but that was actually the example they gave me. It's like they, you know, we tell them you put on your application that you are number one, and if they say how many also were number one, you are to say 178
wow.
or 100 or whatever the number is.
Jeez, that's unbelievable. So I know there was one 16-year-old who was quoted in the story. I believe he was from Wake County, North Carolina, who said, geez, doing this type of approach just shows that students shouldn't try to be the best.
Yes, that student, Ryan Walters, he's really upset about it. I mean, he's probably straddling one or two right now in the class as far as rank goes. But, you know, after this school year, they won't name, and he's a junior, so it stops at his junior year. So he kind of missed it by 1 year of possibly being the valedictorian. But that school system, Wake County Public School System, after this year, they, you know, they will not name valedictorians. So
you mentioned earlier, to bring this to a more serious point, you did say that, that some see this as an unhealthy competition at times. How so?
Well, because they think that students are too busy trying to game the system, like, okay, let me take this advanced class because it will give me more points versus taking that art class that I really want to take. So they feel that students are actually bypassing their interest, you know, classes that kind of align with their interest in the name of becoming number one.
Wall Street Journal education reporter Tawnell Hobbs on Snowflake High School. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you travel for business, stop wasting time pricing your flights and hotels at the same old sites. Visit Upside.com. It's quick and easy for Upside to show you the exact flights you're looking for and the big-name hotels you want. You can buy them separately or bundle them. See, the more you bundle, the more you save, the bigger the gift card you receive to places like Amazon.com. Every time you buy a business travel package using Upside, you'll get the VIP treatment while still paying low prices and being rewarded with gift cards every time you book a package. Oh, you'll keep your airline miles too. Upside's the real deal for buying your business trips. You got to give them a try. And right now, when you use the promo code DEAL, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon.com gift card on your package purchase. That's code DEAL to get a $100 gift card free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. Upside.com and the code DEAL.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon DEAL, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon DEAL.
Thanks for being with us. Gordon DEAL, Jennifer Koshenka, Tuesday, October 10. Some of our top stories and headlines. Deadly wildfires cause mass destruction across California. The Vegas gunman first wounded a security guard inside his hotel. A Texas Tech student is accused of killing a campus cop last night. Trump administration begins rolling back the Obama administration's clean power plan that targeted coal-fired power plants. U.S. soccer can qualify for the World Cup with a win tonight. Vikings beat the Bears in the Monday night game. David Lee Roth is 63 years old today, says he used to jog, but the ice cubes kept falling out of his glass. With news of hacking and influence campaigns escalating all year, the Russian immigrant community of Silicon Valley is in a strange new position. Some Russian venture capitalists said startups were more wary about taking their funding, while several Russian-born engineers said they were being treated differently socially and in their companies. Lawyers also said some tech firms were installing tighter security measures, restricting what data that foreign-born coders can see. It's a story from New York Times reporter Nellie Bowles in San Francisco. Nellie, what about the Russian community in Silicon Valley?
Russian community in Silicon Valley has always been a very strong one. Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google, was born in Russia. Yuri Milner, the first major investor in Facebook, born in Russia. There's long been a very influential community here in San Francisco. And what has happened recently is as the headlines and the sort of constant stream of news over the last 6 months about Russian hackers has really permeated like popular culture and our conversations, it's had an impact on the Russian tech community here in the Bay Area.
So here you have these guys who are willing to invest millions, right? These startup investors, and they show up with this Russian accent, and people now are casting a wary eye.
Yeah, I mean, it's having, I wouldn't say it's everyone or it's rampant, but it is starting, and it's noticeable. And, you know, I spoke to one gentleman in particular who is opening, he's renovated an old church with $11.5 million to buy and renovate this space, and his plan was to call it Hack Temple, like a temple for hackers.
Wow!
And then just as they're about to officially launch, they have their investors and advisors are saying they cannot call it this anymore. They can't. A bunch of Russian guys can't open a place called a hacker temple. just because the PR will be too bad.
Right.
And so he's kind of trying to navigate how he can brand it as a Russian guy opening a house for, you know, international entrepreneurs. And he said it's impacted also his investment. You know, when he's going to invest in startups, they're a little bit more wary. And entrepreneurs told me about getting a lot of jokes about it and being sort of made fun of at conferences and things. And then on the flip side of that, a lot of people also mentioned that now, because Russia is being recognized for its technical talent, there's at points more interest in hiring Russian engineers. That previously, if you'd asked, you know, someone, what do they think of when they think of Russia? They would say oil and oligarchs and President Putin. And then now they would say engineers,
wow.
Hackers.
Wow.
So there's interest in hiring those folks.
We're speaking with Nellie Bowles, reporter for the New York Times in San Francisco. She's written an interesting piece entitled "Russians in Silicon Valley Can't Shake Hacking's Shadow." All right, so how does somebody counter this if they're experiencing, you know, what we might call discrimination, I guess?
I don't know how you would counter any kind of discrimination. I mean, it's obviously baseless and absurd. Historically, whenever America's in geopolitical tense situations, people tend to blame immigrants from that country.
Mm-hmm.
Or people tend to be wary of immigrants from that country. We've seen it over the years many times.
Does he has he given thought to, say, just pulling up stakes and saying, I'm not gonna deal with this anymore. I'm taking my money elsewhere.
No, it's not at that point. I think the flood of immigrants into Silicon Valley and people wanting to work here and start companies here is not ceasing, at least unless there's like the fact that immigrating to the U.S. is just getting harder and harder. But I don't think it's going to deter people from coming here or make people want to go back. I think it's just something that, you know, folks who are here and working and trying to get funding or give funding are noticing. And it's weird and it's annoying and it's discrimination, certainly. But I don't see it as like an imminent crisis for the community.
Thanks, Nellie. Nellie Bowles, New York Times reporter based in San Francisco. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, 'tis the season for finding the perfect Halloween costume for you, your kids, or maybe your dog, but some in the medical profession are warning that if you find yourself scratching your head, it may not be the costume that's making you itch. It could be head lice. According to the Huffington Post, doctors usually see a jump in head lice this time of year, and although many people associate it with the start of the school year, the real cause may be even scarier: Halloween costumes. This is due to the fact that lots of people may have tried on a particular costume before you got there, and quite frankly, you don't know where they've been.
Oh, nice.
So, if you're worried about taking home some unwanted critters from the costume store, a nurse practitioner in Ohio has a few tips. Number one, never try on a mask in a store without wearing a bathing cap over your hair. Number two, put your new costume into a tightly sealed bag for at least 48 hours before wearing it to kill off any lice that may be on it. And number three, throw dryer-friendly costumes into the dryer for 45 minutes before wearing them. And if you do manage to get head lice from trying on a Frankenstein mask or Pennywise costume, a pediatrician says the best bet is treatment with over-the-counter shampoos and extracting the lice with a very fine comb.
Wow.
Have you ever had to deal with that before, like your kids or anything?
No, I think we've gotten the warning maybe from school.
Yeah.
Just as a heads up. But no, I don't think we've had that. And I wonder, too, about the cruelty to lice.
Yeah.
Of suffocating them in a sealed plastic bag.
Yes.
Or putting them in a dryer,
wow,
a clothes dryer for 45 minutes.
Didn't know you're such an animal activist that,
well,
you were worried about head lice.
I just feel like we're in snowflake mode this morning after the last report on no more valedictorians, and
right,
I feel like, you know, maybe I should throw that in as well.
Won't somebody please think of the lice in
right,
this whole situation,
right,
here? I understand. And, you know, Gordon, by this point, we're all used to seeing baseball champagne celebrations. They're usually pretty standard, plastic-covered locker rooms, players in goggles and newly printed T-shirts. shirts, dousing each other with bubbly. But one Houston Astros player is getting some online attention this morning for throwing a new wrinkle into the tried and true post-series party, an American flag Speedo. Houston Astros outfielder Josh Reddick, who had the go-ahead RBI single in the eighth inning of the clinching game versus the Boston Red Sox yesterday, decided to liven things up by jumping to the middle of a cascade of champagne, wearing nothing but an American flag Speedo, jumping up and down, and of course having it all caught on video. And in case you think this is a response to the current flap over the national anthem at sporting events, keep in mind that this isn't the first time that Reddick has busted out the oddly patriotic bottoms in the playoffs, having also done so last season as a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ah.
So how about that?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And now he's going to have to figure out a way to, you know, maybe top himself if the team keeps moving on. You know, top himself, maybe, come up with something a little different.
Or possibly nix the whole idea if they don't win.
Yeah.
Because this could be jinxing them.
Because last the Dodgers got eliminated
lost to the
eventually.
Cubs,
right. So perhaps
something to think about. not for nothing. On my honeymoon night,
yes,
first night.
Okay,
totally freaked out my wife. I put a Speedo on as we were about to go to the pool. She almost shot me on sight. Like just as I wasn't planning on wearing it, but just as a joke to freak her out. She still talks about it. It's almost 20 years. She still talks about the horrifying scene.
The
very
TMI,
first night
the
after
TMI
the
level is just off the charts right
I
now.
Just want to throw it in. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Firefighters obviously found a way to save my house. They were in there. When I arrived this morning, the garage doors were closed, and my house is safe. It's amazing.
A thankful homeowner in Northern California whose home was saved by firefighters as part of those wildfires going on. Meanwhile, freshmen entering college this fall left $2.3 billion in financial aid on the table by not filling out the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or the FAFSA form. The analysis by NerdWallet echoes other research indicating that our complicated financial aid system may deter students interested in attending college and who could benefit from grants or loans from seeking the money out. Of the 20% of students who did not apply for financial aid during the 2011-2012 academic year, about 44% say they did not apply because they thought they would not be eligible for help. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour. On this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Port in Sonoma County says it's received more than 100 phone calls to its missing person hotline as wind-powered wildfires sweep through California wine country, destroying homes and businesses. At least 10 people have died in the blazes and more than 100 have been injured. Governor Jerry Brown has declared an emergency in 8 counties, including Napa and Sonoma, as at least 15 new fires burn across the northern half of the state. Cal Fire Incident Commander Brett Gova.
Conditions are severe up and down the state, and resources have spread thin with the massive amount of fires that we have up and down the state.
Farther south, more than 5,000 homes have been evacuated in Orange County, where a blaze has scorched thousands of acres. Anaheim Fire spokesman Darren Wyatt says there's no containment yet.
For perspective, the Canyon Fire 1 that happened a couple of weeks ago was contained at 2,600 acres thereabout over the course of a week. We're over 6,000 acres in the course of not even 12 hours yet, about 11 hours so far.
Plumes of smoke are visible over Disneyland, and officials have issued air quality warnings for parts of Los Angeles County. Authorities have apprehended a 19-year-old student accused of fatally shooting a Texas Tech University police officer at the campus police station. University spokesman Chris Cook says Hollis Daniels had been brought to the police station after drugs and drug paraphernalia were found in his room during a student welfare check.
Sometime during that debriefing, the student pulled a gun and fatally wounded one of the officers. He fled on foot.
The suspect was apprehended and taken into custody. Well, after a slew of Rocky movies, looks like we're about to get another spinoff. Sylvester Stallone says he signed on to direct Creed 2. The first Creed movie, starring Michael B. Jordan, told the story of Adonis Johnson, Apollo Creed's son. That film made nearly $110 million on a $35 million budget. No release date for Creed 2 was announced.
Let's keep it that way.
What?
We don't need a release date. I mean, really? Do we
need
another one of these?
Hey, they're making a lot of money.
That's true. Well, it's good. I don't know about a lot of money, but a good return at least, right?
Yeah.
Cost you $35 million, made $110
million. Exactly.
Aye, aye, aye. Thanks, Jen. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Marine Corps veteran Taylor Winston has been hailed as a hero after he seized a truck and used it to drive critically injured victims to the hospital after the Las Vegas shooting. We talked about him last week. Meanwhile, the 29-year-old San Diego resident was in Arizona yesterday to accept the offer of a free truck from B5 Motors in Gilbert, Arizona. The Arizona Republic says Mr. Winston only accepted the 2013 Ford F-150 because the gift will allow him to sell his current vehicle and donate the proceeds to Las Vegas shooting victims. Mr. Winston was at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival in Las Vegas 9 days ago when the gunman opened fire. Mr. Winston and his girlfriend, Jen Lewis, after helping people escape over a fence, saw a lot filled with cars and trucks across the street. He knew festival workers sometimes left their trucks unlocked with the keys inside. He was lucky. First truck he tried had the keys sitting right in the console. He drove 2 trips to the hospital with 20 to 30 victims total. He eventually dropped the truck outside a bar, and social media helped him track down the owner. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.